Tell me about your Broadway experience, because this is fascinating.
And then I'll tell you guys about mine.
Please, please. I'm ready. I'm ready.
You snotted.
I'm sorry.
Well, okay, you're welcome. I truly have a Broadway experience.
She was also on the Waltons.
I am a child star too, bitch.
Now we're heating up. It's a good podcast.
Now Josh is like, now I know why I'm
in.
Here.
It's I'm in. God,
it's 45 so minutes.
Then. Clip it.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to Tea Time.
Tea Time!
I'm Miranda.
I'm
this Raven. Is Raven. And today we have an extremely special, amazing guest
yeah.
who we both know from past chapters of our life,
yeah.
which is super cool. And his name is...
Josh Peck!
Thank you.
Hi.
Did you like our intro?
Beautiful.
We didn't rehearse that.
Not at all.
Could you tell?
I just found out who was on the podcast this morning. Surprise!
Happy to be here.
Welcome to Tea Time.
Thank you so much. Does this neighborhood bring up memories of our first interaction, Raven?
It would if I remembered our first interaction.
More impactful for me. Okay. Gotcha.
No. But it's not that I don't love you, obviously, and I know you. I just have really big holes in my memory because of my disassociation. I'm going to ask you questions like that, too, being a child and learning lines and the drama and shit that we went through.
Of course.
Where did we meet?
Did you ever live at the Archstone?
Oh my God, Josh, that's right.
We lived in the same apartment building.
And you also lived at Oakwood.
Mm-hmm.
Because our pictures were next to each other at the market at the Oakwood.
No way. Well, yeah. Tell the people what Oakwood
yes,
is.
Yes, please, okay. Tell the people.
So the Oakwood in the early 90s, late 90s, was the place where if you were a child star not from LA, you come and stay because it was a furnished apartment complex. Then once you migrate from there, you go to the Archstone, which yeah. is on Ventura, and that was like B2K, myself, and
IMX.
You. IMX was yes. there. Yeah, it was crazy. God.
You know.
So yes, now I am triggered. Thank you.
My connection to this moment is I think I was sitting on your couch crying over you, and yeah. Josh was like, oh, yeah, I lived with her. And I was like, what? I was like, why is she everywhere I go? He was like, yeah, you know, that's it. Okay, peace. And oh, I was like,
hilarious.
Wow. I was like crying, spilling my heart to his wife, Paige, who I love. And I was just like, blah, blah. And then Josh was like, okay, yeah, know her. Bye. Gone. Okay.
She's always really loved you.
This is true.
I know. It's so true.
It's so beautiful.
That's my wifey, and I love her.
It worked.
I loved her, too, even though I broke up with her. It was just a lot.
I'm just a lot. Yeah.
No, not you. And until you're ready, like my wife and granted, I was 24, she was 20 when we met, but we broke up for like 6 months, kind of like half broken up, and we'd only been together 9 months, but it was like, because of me, because I was like, this can't be it. I'm like, we're in our mid-20s, like I can't have met my person, and I had to go out and be a knucklehead and realize like, oh, I miss you so much.
You need that.
Yeah.
For me, it was really difficult to say, hey, this is my person and I'm going to marry them because of the way my brain was wired from my childhood.
Mm.
And for me, it was, I'm this entity. I can't really get married. I always have to work and relationships are second and I'm not really putting anybody in front of my real relationship, which is work. Did you ever have any blocks like that for you in your relationships?
I find in general, even recently, I have a podcast called The Good Guys, which hopefully you guys will come on.
Oh my yes. God, yes!
Love to have you.
We would love to come on.
And I co-host it with the great celebrity Ben Soffer, mm-hmm. my buddy. And, you know, he comes from this beautiful, very normal sort of background, wonderfully normal, lovely parents and family. So he will have healthy boundaries.
Mm.
And so he will take personal time when necessary for him and his wife or him and his family. And for me, I'm like, oh, no, like, no, like the show must go on. Like,
yeah.
You're yep. putting this before like our scheduled time. He's like, no, we'll find time to do it. But like, this is my family and I need to make time. And tell me, Raven, because I know for me, there was never an idea of a day off.
Never. Mm. Even Sunday was open for availability, depending on the check and if it was necessary
yeah.
for the company to look at me like a team player.
Has fatherhood changed your relationship to work at all?
Oh, absolutely. It's made it so much more clear. And my friend Ryan Holiday, who writes books about stoicism, always says, like, if you say no to that opportunity, you're saying yes to putting your kids to bed.
Mm.
So when I think of it that way, it's a very worthy trade-off. And then, but I am, you know, I'm a sober guy and typical child star, burned out at 21. Even with my kids, I can overdo it with being like, I need to be present and there for every second. And it's like, no, like you can go off and bring the money home and go do, like, it's good that they see dad busy and working. So I have to find that balance.
But I mean, you started doing stand-up at 8 years old. I started in the industry young too. And it's like, that is instilled in us, the work ethic. So my question is, how old are your kids?
They are 6 and 2.
So 6 and 2 and one on the way. What are you teaching them from what you learned as a kid / are you putting them in the industry?
Not putting them in the industry, trying to, if they show a proclivity for it, which thankfully they haven't, they're like,
you know. You're late, kids.
Yeah.
No one starts old anymore.
Get to work. Open a TikTok account.
Right?
Immediately.
Get them on Instagram immediately.
Yes. I don't know. I think if they love it and want to do school plays and acting class, like, great. Mm-hmm. But I think I would suggest to them and try to steer them away from doing it professionally before they're 18. Because first thing is, if you start at 18 as opposed to 12, it's only 6 years, but then you're not a kid star.
Correct.
Yeah.
Right? So you don't ever have to like deal with that like connotation. And also, I would just say, like, I think kids, Maya B. Alex said this really well, and she played Blossom, obviously. And she was like, kids need to be allowed to have a bad day. Mm-hmm. And just the nature of work when you're in entertainment, and obviously you're rewarded beautifully, and it's a very rare opportunity that so many people want. But if you want to take the day off, like, they have to close the production.
There's no day off. What are you talking about, Josh?
Right.
I don't know what you mean.
Right.
I have a question for you guys, because you two are two of the few child stars who have their government name as their character name.
Very true.
I just wonder how you feel that has impacted both of you.
I'm relieved. Are you?
That my name is in the thing?
That your name is your name?
I have. Speak English. I have double thoughts about it.
Say more.
I feel that when my name is said, depending on the age bracket that's saying it, I have to then turn on as that person they're expecting. Huh. Rather than, like, for instance, when my wife calls me Raven, I'm like, you can't call me that because then I turn on. Wow. Like, yeah, call me another name, please, because I don't want to be that person for you. That's my own problem. I'm growing out of it. I love it too because you're welcome. And my show was bomb. And I don't know what other name Raven would have had other than Raven. So I sit on the fence. What about you?
I'm relieved just so that people all day aren't going, hey, Zipper. Like,
true.
That's a relief. True. I like being Josh.
Like Carlton being called that out of nowhere. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, I like being Josh. Yeah, I've found it overall a bit of a relief that it was my name. And I heard, and this could be folklore, that after our show, they didn't allow this anymore because it made this weird gray area for the IP of the show, like for corporate to be able to, because they can't own you, but they own Josh.
My contract was different.
Oh, word?
Yeah, my contract was definitely different for the things that could sell and how, blah, yeah. It definitely is weird.
Was it hard to separate the two, like TV Josh versus like at home Josh?
I think it was more about accepting that this thing that I did when I was young was like this wonderful thing that made a lot of people happy, and it could arguably be life is long, but the biggest thing that I ever do. And finding like my peace with this idea that it will be a part of my life forever. Mm-hmm. And I think I naturally had that inclination in my 20s, like you want to rebel against where you came from, even if you're normal, your parents, your small town, your whatever it is. So I felt that a bit in my 20s, like I just want to leave this all behind and be this new person. And now in my 30s, I've grown a deep appreciation for what it is and that it doesn't define me, but it's this wonderful, very large chapter of my life.
Yeah, it is a large chapter, and a lot of people like us try to chase that fame over and over and over again.
Totally.
And it spirals them into such a dark place, because the masterclass and the education of knowing that if you let that be the masterpiece that it is and just continue to move on like it was your 9 to 5 and not hold on to it as the identification of who you are as an entire human being, then I think you can move forward, have kids, get mm-hmm. married. Then the opposite are the child stars that make it difficult for us to shine a little bit because they are kind of shading the people that succeeded mm-hmm. because their bad behavior becomes the norm for what all child stars are. You know, when I was growing up, my parents made sure that I didn't turn out like this person and don't turn mm-hmm. out like that person. And there's not a lot of good eggs that come out of it. But I think with our generation, it's kind of smoothing over a little bit more. Yeah. The bad days and the bad years are truncated compared to like 30 years of drug rehabilitation and things of that era. Am I making sense, you guys?
Yeah, sorry. I think so. But I think that you're also like leaning a little bit into coping mechanisms and how people function and just self-soothe in life in general, right?
Well, I'm talking specifically about child stars and what it feels like to chase fame mm-hmm. and knowing that you can never be that big again at such a young age. It's a mindfuck.
It's an anomaly.
It's an anomaly.
What were there things that were like your red lines or things that you would never like for me, there were just whether I don't know if it's reboots or anything like that, because I think it's great that people do any version of a reboot. I just there were certain things where I was like, I want this to be this great thing that it was, and I don't want to mess with it
yeah.
too much.
Yeah.
Did you have that?
I have
some
feeling? Of those. I still have those now. Like, some people will say, for the longest time, people would ask me to do the catchphrase, and I'm like, where's my check? Like, I don't say it without money. But I also did that because I'm not that. That's that character. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And if you catch me saying it because it's I'm naturally saying it, that's different. I also, like a lot of people wanted me to do my vision face. I would do it for certain people
sure.
and certain things, but on a regular, like if you're cute and you'll never see me again, like I'll do a vision face for you. Mm-hmm. But if you're, I don't know, I'm not going to do it on E.T. You know what I mean?
Sure.
It changes the thing. It's like, I'm sure the what you talking about Willis got old for him after
sure.
a while.
I think that's smart, though, what you're saying. I mean, and people do. There's been so many reboots and whatnot.
I did
But
one.
I think that, I know, and that's not a bad thing.
Shout out. It went a while, too, right?
It went 6 seasons.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah,
but you
job.
Won the reboot game. Are you kidding me?
Thank you so much.
That's amazing.
I just think, though, sometimes it's really.
Not one award, but we just
It's
won.
Really smart to be able to know, like, when to leave the party.
Yes!
You know, like, when a good thing is a good thing, and you don't have to go back and try and, like, upheave the good thing. I think that's just it's a good thing to have that good thing. That good awareness. You guys are both really funny. Like, did you feel like you had to...
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
God
bless
you.
You're welcome. You're both...
Always take the compliment.
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Stay humble, guys.
Did you have to get good at taking compliments?
Oh, yeah. I suck at it.
What about you, Miranda? Are you...
Oh, I'm very bad at taking compliments.
Yes.
Yeah, it's not my thing. You?
I've had to learn that it's very self-centered to not take compliments well, because they're really not about you. They're about the person.
Yes, sir.
That's
I mean,
a good point.
Granted, someone can say something lovely, and if you hold them in high esteem, your partner or loved one, and you feel seen, and you're like, wow, like, I'm going to take that.
Yeah.
I'm going to take that one. But also, just like, people put on these shows about like, I can't. I'm like, oh, fuck off. Like,
exactly.
It's not about you. I just want to say something nice because I feel this feeling, and allowing that to happen.
Allows it to happen.
Yeah. It's so true. You know, for me, it's hard sometimes to receive a compliment just because, and you're right, it's so not about me in that moment. It's about just receiving the kindness from another person. But what it triggers in me is an insecurity, or it triggers this discomfort of like, oh, someone's telling me that I did a good job and I don't feel like I did a good job, and I have to justify why I didn't, or I have to, you know, explain why I don't feel like I look good this day. And it's kind of exhausting and stupid, and nobody wants to hear that. You know, it's just so much easier to be like, thank you so much. I've gotten better at it. Do you guys feel like you, as the funny people, had to like work harder once your body's changed to be that funny person? You know, there's so much conversation about like,
we're naturally funny, babes. It's just how we are.
We are.
Yeah. Okay. I know that. I mean,
hysterical.
I know this.
Like, obviously.
I know this. I'm asking the question that the people want to know because I know you guys. You guys get it. But
you go first.
I did this show called Grandfathered, where I played John Stamos' son.
Nice.
Right? Ridiculous. And
John Stamos, you're like BFF.
The best.
Yeah.
And I remember he said something to me where I was not in a place to hear it, so it hurt. I was like, but he was right. It revealed itself to be right. He's like, I think you're finding what makes you funny as an adult. And I was like, dog, I've been paying these bills with what's funny. Like, dress me. Like, and then, but he was right. Like, there were just habits and things. And I don't know if it was specific to my body, but it was specific to being like, this has worked since I was 12. But I grew up, and like, there were certain, I had to allow, the core essence of me was always going to be the same. You know, we all have a sparkle about us. Yeah. And like, but there were certain things that, yeah, needed to grow up a little bit, I'd say.
And then I'm just going to sit on the other side of the fence. Please. With, you
Raven
know,
loves to do that.
Sit on the other side of the fence?
I love to sit on the other side of the fence.
I do.
Now we're here with our segment, Contrarian Court.
Yeah, exactly. I'm going to tell John Stamos why he was wrong.
I am.
Yeah.
I am going to tell him why I understand it, but I don't fully agree. Because there are some adults that have their dog and pony show that never change.
Yes.
And we got lucky as kids to be able to massage and manipulate and understand different kinds of comedy. And there are tricks to it. There is a formula to be funny. Mm. There, so you can teach it. Now, you and other people in your position, we do have something to where you can be like, yeah, but when I do it, it's going to be a little bit funnier. You know what I mean? And I understand what he's saying, but at the same time, what makes you funny is what makes you funny. And like, it's just going to mature, but it's not ever going to change.
You're right. But I think for our, where we're uniquely lucky, and I've seen this with certain people who start really early, where they cannot face this idea that growth is required.
That's fair.
And they're like, this shit has crushed for me for X amount of time. It's like, yes, but you're not that 12-year-old delivering it anymore.
Yeah, that's
There's
true.
Like a new casing for it. So
yeah, I can understand.
And when you
okay,
were talking,
fine, I'll sit back on the other side of the fence.
But when you were talking, Josh, the thought that went through my head, which I loved, and what John offered you, was that moment of growth. And I was like, wow, Josh, you are so wise, and like you. That was a growth moment. It was a growth moment to be able to look back at yourself and be like, okay, this, I knew exactly if I did this, like, bump, 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 move in my body and delivered this line in this, you know, tone, it would elicit a laugh. And I think that to then understand that, like, as an adult man who's been through shit, who's grown and seen things differently, who understands the world but can present himself in a different way, is so cool.
It's a willingness to be a beginner again. And I've had to walk in acting classes at 28. At 30, knowing like there's a good chance I will have had more credits than a lot of people here, and go, I'm about to get my ass chewed out. Like, I'm about to get totally crushed by this teacher who's going to be like, why do you, like, that's a bad habit. That's a bad habit. And a willingness to face that. Like, I'm doing this acting body sensory class, this famous teacher, Jean-Louis Rodrigue. Right?
Not Jean-Louis.
Jean-Louis. And he like he helped like Margot Robbie with I, Tonya, and it's just, and he was like, what do you want out of this class? And it's really about body awareness as an actor. And I said, I want like the way that football players do ballet. Like, I just want a roundabout way to maybe learn something in an unorthodox way.
You're stuck in a brain at a certain age, but then you have to fight that and then show that you're also more than that. It's hard. It's a really hard balance.
And it's hard in comedy too, because there's different kinds of comedy. We did physical comedy. And physical comedy does keep you in a box, because compared to, you know, like a Natalie Portman who started young, you have to stay grounded. You have to do that. So she didn't really, she grew, but she grew physically. And then we saw that, like, as physical comedians and comedians that are children, it's a harder journey for us, because we have to prove to you that we are adults. And how do we prove that? By changing, by morphing, by moving around. And it's a pleasure to see you on the other side.
It's a pleasure to know you and to have watched you and to see this relationship come together. I have to give two fun facts about the both of you.
Ooh, I love a fun fact.
And you probably don't remember this, but I remember it. We were once at Sushi Dan.
Oh my God,
right by Archstone.
My brother's favorite place.
You love Sushi Dan. And we were eating separately, and But we were chatting, like, just, we just happened, neighbors, you know, at our local watering hole. And you go, Josh, have you ever had green tea tempura ice cream?
Oh, my God.
And I said, no, I haven't, Raven Simone. And you were like, why don't you come over here and try some of this? And I was like, Raven has great taste in dessert.
Dude. She was obsessed with that.
When my boyfriend broke up with me after cheating on me with this girl and having a baby by another person. Oh. Anyway, that's another conversation.
That'll be a good episode.
Yeah. Most definitely. Every single night in that breakup, I had green tea to pour my ice cream with extra chocolate sauce.
She said she gained like...
I gained like 30 pounds.
Just eating that.
It was the most delicious breakup I have ever had in my life. It was fantastic.
And speaking of dessert, you taught me the word ramekin.
I did?
You did. Because you told me about a fun little treat you make yourself every so often in a little ramekin dish. Yes.
Oh, that wow. It's so called purple. Funny.
Yeah.
It's called purple.
I have it more than just every so often. I'm kind of addicted to it.
Really?
We won't talk about that right now.
I would like you to put your hand in this teapot because there is a topic in here that we are going to discuss together.
We're
going to
chit-chat at the watering hole about.
Yeah. Love. It's not green tea ice cream and it's not a ramekin.
God,
but
it's so good.
What is it?
Sushi Dan closed, dude.
Dude, no.
Dude, it closed.
Ooh, irrational fears.
Ooh, irrational fears, babe.
You guys have... Oh, me first. She's such an ass because she knows I have so... Well, here's the thing. I have a lot of fears, but I don't know that any are actually irrational. I think they're, like, very rational.
We'll see.
I'm afraid of, like, developing an allergy out of nowhere and my face swelling.
So good.
I'm
so
totally good. Afraid of that. I went to the bathroom 2 nights ago to put eye drops in my eyes.
And this instead, is not a fear. This is just a...
And instead I put antiseptic alcohol nasal cleaner in my eye.
Scary.
Terrifying.
So what's the fear?
So doing that again.
Okay, irrational fear. Anyway. Josh, your turn.
It's funny. A good buddy of mine in recovery helps me with this because I'll bring up to him just the natural, like, well, what if this doesn't work out? Or what if this happens? Mm. Or what if this, you know, what if I don't work for X amount of time? But then what? And he'll listen and go, you know, I can't help with the pretend. So if good. It happens, if the shit hits the fan, call me and then we'll work on it. But until then, you know, don't suffer imagined fear. And because you're not psychotic, it always... Raven, retort.
Listen, I'm just saying, don't...
You're about to call me psychotic?
No, no.
Watch yourself.
No.
Watch yourself.
Not.
But, like, it's because there was a seed of truth, right? You did have something that happened that was scary in a moment. But then our brains take it to the extreme.
All the time.
Yeah.
Do you have an irrational fear?
I do. I have an irrational fear that if I fall off a cliff, I'm still going to survive the fall.
Sick. How big is the cliff? Where are we? Yosemite. Yeah. Yellowstone.
Oh, no, we're on
Kevin
Canyon.
Costner there. Okay.
Kevin Costner is totally there.
Yeah. No, I have a, like, not even Laurel Canyon, like Poema. So over there by the Malibu Hills, when they do not have any type of
railing.
Yeah. I have an irrational fear of my car just saying, you know what? I'm over it and taking itself off of the cliff and then me not immediately dying from a heart attack of being afraid, but like caught in the car being a really bad misery episode. If you guys remember that movie, like I'm scared of that. And you know what else happens to me? And I wonder if I can explain it properly.
Try.
Sometimes I have deja vus that happen as I'm sitting talking to someone and I see something else going on. That is either negative or positive. And I'm afraid that if I move too much in this moment or say the wrong thing, then the deja vu is actually going to start. Huh. And then I'm going to jump dimensions. Listen, I'm afraid of dimension jumping.
Ooh.
That's irrational.
That's irrational.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What dimension are we in currently?
Well.
What do we think?
Wait a minute. Which one?
I think about my consciousness in the fifth dimension. I don't know. We'll talk offline with that.
Okay.
We'll talk offline.
Deep.
It goes deep. How do you help your kids get over their fears?
It's a great question. Because you want to just be a dad and brute force it and just be like, stop it.
Yeah.
Just be like, stop. But like... You try to honor how they're feeling, and you even let it be a limiter for a while and just kind of hope that they come to it on their own. Mm-hmm. And then it will reveal itself in my experience where it's like they need a push. They need a little just – and I've heard this said in therapy before. Like there are some therapists who push you over the boulder. There's some therapists who just like go like, you see that boulder? And then there's some that just go like, why don't you just walk around the boulder? Like there's versions. So I think your kid, it'll reveal like what they need from you in that moment. Like here's what's interesting. A zebra – or anything in a the zebra. Animal kingdom, never looks at a situation and goes, I should overcome my fear and push myself.
It's very correct. True.
Right? Like, we are so deeply governed by fear as a survival instinct. Mm-hmm. Like, the idea of looking in an elevator and seeing someone kind of who looks off and going like, oh, just get in. No animal would do that
no
except
animal
us.
Would do that. Yeah.
Like, and usually we should just honor that and be like, I take the stairs. I just didn't, the vibes were off in there. And 99% of the time, you're crazy, right? Mm-hmm. And it would have been fine. But so I wouldn't beat ourselves up for having these fears.
That. I like
fears,
that.
I mean, fear is there for a reason, right? I think we've just it's protection. It's a protection mechanism. It's how we read and assess, and animals will do that too by scent. You know, we don't have that mechanism as built into us as humans. But I think that fear is a good indicator, and we should be willing to either listen to it without reacting, and then also understanding how fear can take over and end up running your lives, which makes me wonder, if you guys had no fears, what do you think you would do? How would your life look different?
So like when I take a beta blocker, you guys ever done those?
Yo, pass one.
Yo, fun times, dog.
I mean, every flight, I'm like, give me. Raven's like, you've never taken one.
That's why I said, give me one.
No, I had to take a beta blocker because my resting heart rate had just sat at 99 beats per minute. I was like, I had to take a beta blocker. But yeah. What would you do without fear?
I don't know. I what would I do without fear? I guess I would probably take a couple more swings. As I don't know how it was for you, Raven, but like as someone who started working young and having their family depend on me financially, and I think that the time in your 20s where you can take those big swings, because like what's the worst thing that can happen? You sleep on someone's couch for a while and mm-hmm. rebuild. Mm-hmm. I never felt confident to take those swings. And what you see in a lot of people who attain greatness, it's like their ability in which to like sit in that discomfort for long periods. So I think maybe that. But other than that, you know, I don't feel too terribly governed by it.
That's
today.
Good. That's amazing.
You next, baby.
Oh, if I didn't have fear, I think I would ride elevators.
I can't.
You don't?
No.
Oh, no.
I'm terrified of elevators.
When she rides an elevator, I have to be behind her and just rub her back like this.
Or I have to sing like, hold me close, you don't, tiny dancer.
And sway like that?
Yeah, I do. I literally do. I'm like, count the headlights. And I count it. And if we get past 7 seconds and those doors haven't opened, I'm like, fuck. Like,
You move on to another Elton John song?
Yeah, exactly.
Raven's like, she's on the spectrum. By the way, same here.
Listen, everybody.
I'm a bitch. I'm a bitch. Oh, the bitch is back. Yeah, no. If I get there, we're
rock
really
it now,
gonna...
rock.
Rock and man.
Oh, man.
I would ride elevators. I would probably just be like, yeah, I'll get an airplane tomorrow. Like, I would just be more free. I think if I didn't have my fears, I'd be more free for sure. I have a lot of, yeah.
Wow. And what are you afraid of in the elevator? It's going to fall, claustrophobic?
It's that it's not going to open and I can't get out. And then I have no cell service. And then the person whose job it is to answer the emergency phone is like not there because that happens a lot. And then I'm stuck. And then I die in that elevator slowly, painfully.
Days.
Just starving.
Excrement.
Yes, exactly. This is why like I always carry water and like a packet of nuts or something. Because if I happen to get stuck in an elevator, at least I can sustain myself. But just like the fact that I can't.
I think your adrenaline would make you open that door.
Maybe. But I just, it's the claustrophobia.
You wouldn't climb out the top in the vent and then slide down the wires?
But not all of them have vents, you know?
Angelina Jolie style?
Yeah.
I mean, I probably would. Honestly, I'd be like so feral. But like, I don't know. Aww. You're cool in elevators, all of them?
I'm okay in elevators, but I was just on a trip with my mother-in-law and our family was there and she doesn't do them either. We climbed 19 floors to our apartment.
Wow. Yes, calves.
Yeah, yes. Everyone did it with her?
Just me and her. Like, she did the elevator sometimes to, like, not be a total, like, but if we had time and no one was waiting on us, I'm like, come on, Stacey, we'll take
that's
the stairs.
Nice.
Yeah,
that's
it was
so
fun.
Nice
good bonding.
Yeah. I will always say, like, I'll take the stairs and I'll meet you guys there. Like, I never want anyone waiting on me. And then I will huff. Like, I will do them just as fast. And then I give myself, like, a good... Like, I feel good about myself when I get there as the elevator is getting there, too. Like, see? No one needs to take elevators. You can just take stairs. You get there at the same time.
Sweating profusely underneath her jacket.
But
she's like, I got to go to the bathroom now.
But I don't try and inconvenience anybody. And if it's going to become a thing where you, like, I've had really bad situations where, like, I went to a new orthodontist once and they required keys and people had to come down and walkie-talkies, like, all just to open the stairwell. And I was like, fuck.
Great.
But yeah, the fear was bad that day.
Can I tell you one of my other fears? When I was doing Broadway.
What did you do on Broadway?
I did Sister Act. I did Sister Act for like 6 months.
Dead.
Yeah, we'll talk. Yeah, it's a journey.
Dead, wow.
Dead is so true.
Did you play Sister Mary Clarence?
I did.
No.
I did.
She was okay.
I did.
Whoopee.
I was whoops. But I had a lot of fears bubble up.
Oh, yeah.
So when I heard that you had your bar mitzvah Broadway themed, uh-huh. I just kind of triggered myself. Why did you do that?
Because my mom made me.
So accusatory. Why did you do that, Josh?
I wanted it to be Star Wars. I wanted it to be the Mets.
And
my
mom
was like,
no.
We're going to give him a little razzle dazzle. And I'm like, fuck, mom, this sucks.
Oh,
Like, I don't want to sit at the Les Mis table, mom. Like, you're
what
killing
table
me.
Did you sit at? Cats.
Fucking Miss Saigon. It was terrible. Oh, my God. We put on a 45-minute show at my bar mitzvah. I'm getting hot again. I'm talking about it. It was the worst. Thank you.
Wait, like, she made you put on a show?
Yeah, because I did stand up at 8, and she was like, we're going to do it together. And, like, we did a gypsy medley.
Josh. Oh, my God. Like, welcome to manhood.
This is why I'm on Wellbutrin.
Oh, my God.
Mom.
Oh, my God. That's hilarious. I'm sorry to trigger you.
No, tell me. Wait.
Broadway, man.
Tell me about your Broadway experience, because this is fascinating.
And then I'll tell you guys about mine.
Please. I'm ready.
You snotted. Why is that so funny?
It was hilarious. I'm sorry.
Well, okay, you're welcome. I truly have a Broadway experience.
It's just so great.
Okay. Yeah, it is so great.
She was also on the Waltons.
I am a child star too, bitch.
Now we're heating up. It's a good podcast.
Now Josh is like, now I know
I'm
here.
I'm in.
God, it's 45 so minutes.
Clip it.
Yeah, exactly.
My Broadway experience, it was up, down, left, and right, great on all levels and made some wonderful friends. Mm. I heard as a rumor that normally when you start on Broadway, you're only supposed to do like 3 months because of the psychological warfare that goes on.
Eight shows a week.
It's a lot. But my manager signed me up for 6 months straight. I rehearsed my ass off for those first 4 weeks. Honey, you couldn't tell me shit. Did the first day and came down with the flu and missed my first week on stage. It was crazy. My first show was bomb, standing ovation. I made one of my closest friends. His name is Damon Green. Love y'all. And I was in the best shape vocally, body wise. I had on a neck plunging white dress. Only till the very end did the zipper just stop working. who knows why. And then, like, for me, just because of my body chemistry, I had to do exercises like in the morning at night to keep up. And I would do Just Dance in between shows. And it was a realization that Broadway is really good for those who like the same thing the same way every time. Mm. Compared to someone like me, who, even though I'm playing the same character on a show, every episode is different. So I get to be a little bit different each time.
Yeah.
So when I was doing it, I'm like, can I do something? They're like, nope, same way. So by 100th episode, you guys, I'm on TV. By 100th show, my brain started to drift. So one night I was on stage looking at the red light, performing, doing the prayer, and I started disassociating into my childhood to a point where I got off stage and I was like, I think I'm sick. I think something's going on. And it kept happening until the end of the show. And that's when I retired, because I'm like, my brain kind of split a little bit, because it's a type of human that belongs on Broadway.
Totally.
And do you want to?
I'm open to it. I almost did. I was going to maybe do something last year. But again, it's, I think, to your point, like lighter fare, which is amazing, which is the most popular things on Broadway. But, you know, Hairspray, yeah. Sister Act, like I can imagine that. Yeah, you can't deviate. Like, it is something that works and make tourists and people happy.
It's a tourist trap.
And that's your job. And I think, to your point, it's like, it's 8 shows a week and you have to totally be in love with it to make it work.
I feel like if I had to
tell us about your moment on Broadway.
Yes, right? Please.
I'd love to know about that.
Okay, so my moment on Broadway isn't necessarily on the stage performing to an audience.
Okay.
But my father produced Broadway shows.
Wow.
And one of the most magical times of my life was when I spent 2.5 weeks with my dad in New York, and it was amazing. And I saw from, you know, behind the scenes and in rehearsal time what it took to build a show. And working with the actors and hearing the orchestra tune up every night. It was a musical. It was amazing. It was such an amazing experience. Yeah. And there is nothing like live theater. Do you love your work, Josh? Like, do you love being an actor? Is it, and do you feel like had you not gone into it young, you would have maybe done something else?
In a perfect world, I should have been allowed the opportunity to try something else. People, when they ask, will your kids be in acting? I go, well, you have to understand, like, I had a single mom, never met my pops, only child. We were pretty financially insecure and, like, unstable for my entire life. I was a heavy kid who had this talent. Like, I was good at this thing. And my mom was like, full bore, do it. It gives you confidence. Like, go for it. She also was a bit of like an unrealized performer. So she poured like
most
jet
of our parents are when totally. They put us in there. Yeah. You're talking about it.
The most. And so she poured like gasoline on it. She was like, we're all in. So the idea that we could move from New York to LA because I got the Amanda Show, it was like, it was such a rare set of circumstance that allowed for it to happen, which my kids, God willing, will have a stable home. And the idea of like being able to do that at a young age probably would not reveal itself. But I, this is so corny. I love Between Action and Cut. I really do. There's something, and sitcoms are special. Like, the kind of family you build on those shows and the people, and like, isn't it, don't you love that everyone kind of has a uniform even though they don't? Like, you see guys in a bunch of Carhartt with like construction boots. I'm like, you're either driving truck or building set. You live in Castaic. I'm like,
sure.
You left at 3 a.m. to be here.
100%.
I'm like, what are you doing? They're like, I'm not praying these LA prices. I'm like, I know who you voted for and I love you.
Yep.
I'm like, we could be cool either way.
And exactly. Raven loves those guys so much. That's why she comes to me and she's like, we should move to Castaic Lake. And I'm like, I don't want to go at 3. What
those
are you
are my people.
She's like,
yeah,
exactly.
They're the best.
She's like, they're my dudes. They give me lumber. I was like, what? She's like, yeah, I have all this lumber now that I can paint on, all this wood.
Yeah.
How has social media and like TikTok, because I know you have a big TikTok, and how has that kind of like channeled into your life and career?
I love it. I love, do you guys like doing the pod?
Mm-hmm.
You love?
Yes. Yeah. Oh, the pod? I love the
yes.
pod.
You
yeah.
love this, right?
She hates social media. I like social media, but the
I'm
pod,
a curmudgeon, as we can tell. But
do you consume it?
I do. I consume it.
Okay. And then what? So what's your gripes?
My gripes is I have to be on again when the camera comes on, and I just don't like to turn on it anymore.
Yeah, I think that's so healthy.
Thank you.
I'm here for it. Yeah, I just think. Look, I'll be 40 next year, and I was like, what if I just don't audition for a while? And it's not like any kind of grand declaration, other than I've been auditioning for 30 years. And like,
it's tiring.
And you know, anything great, you know, you got to fight for
yeah,
it.
Yeah, you do.
And like, what if I'm just like, if something comes my way, great. Otherwise, like, I'll do the pod, I'll do social, which the best versions of that is that I get to make a living and not have to do things. Because, like, the only things that hurt my heart is when I have to do something on screen that I'm just, like, not passionate about.
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly. You know? So, but, like, the pod and social media are these tertiary things that I care about, but not so much. And they give me, I mean, I love the pod. I should say social media more. I just, like, if I make a good video or not, I'll live. But it's a good way to make a living and have a family and sort of, like, a full... full life.
Yeah. Your socials ruin my day on a regular basis. And I know that's exactly what you want.
That's what we're working
it's
on.
It's absolutely insane. Wow. You guys, let's toast.
Toast it.
Wow.
You guys, today our toast goes to you two. To
you
Josh.
Like
and
you two, the group?
No. To Raven Bono. And Josh. And
also, I.
It goes to you guys.
Why do we get toasted?
Because you made it through.
That
you guys
part.
Have been through a lot of shit. And child stars, I think,
we're
have
fucking
a
crazy.
Really difficult experience. Also a really beautiful experience, but it's difficult. And you two have made it through. And you're both really wonderful, really smart, really wise people. And I'm happy to know both of you guys. And I know everyone out there is happy to watch and know both of you guys.
I'll toast to Josh because someone who we've paralleled in body, in comedy, in youth... And also, I'm gonna be 40 this year. Wow. It's a pleasure to sit across the table from someone who found joy in the art that was kind of pushed on them. Mm. But then you found yourself within it. And you have found happiness. And what you're doing now is inspirational.
You are living proof to me of somebody who, when they invest in themselves and do work and they face their demons, that there is reward in that. You're just wise. And I think you're wise because you have experience, but you've also been able to analyze and reflect and put things into practice for your own self. And you have a certain moral and ethical standard and view that you hold yourself to. And it's just, it's cool. It's just cool to see.
Now give us compliments, Josh.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm coming. Hold on.
Come on.
First of all, I'm schwitzing like crazy. Oh,
Josh is like, what am I doing here?
No, I haven't. I'm having menopause right here. I just went into it, guys. It
so
started.
Sorry. We'll
no, no, no.
We'll
I'm, no, no. I started menopause. Taking creatine 3 days ago, and it's
that's
like having
it
an adverse
is.
Effect. Oh. Oh my God.
You look ripped.
Okay, I'm gonna be quick before I melt. Raven,
yeah.
I have loved being your friend, and anytime you come up being like, I fucks with Raven
yeah,
so hard. Telling the green tea tempura story, I feel so lucky to be your friend, and I swear to see this love come together as it was always meant to be. Love you guys together.
We love you.
Thank
we
you
love
for
you.
Me.
We
love
Thank you. Thank you for so being much. Here.
Thank
this was,
you.
This was a love
it was
fest.
It was fun.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it.
Thank you so much for being here, Josh. This was so much fun. Where can we find you? What's going on?
Listen to the Good Guys podcast, available everywhere you get podcasts.
Amazing.
Love
yeah.
it.
Thanks.
Thanks, everybody. If you want to see the full version of this conversation, check us out wherever you get your podcast.
It's my job.
Whatever. I wanted to try.